This morning we have the privilege of getting to hear back what went on in the Philippines. A group of 17 of us went to the Philippines to do ministry with some partners that we have. One, Rich and Marla Henderson, who are from this church that we sent out over 20 years ago and have been doing ministry in Manila and in other areas. And then we started a partnership about 5 years ago with a ministry called Threads of Hope that makes bracelets in the Philippines, and then we sell them in the States. And just Threads of Hope helps take desperation out of the equation for Filipino families. And so they planted a church, they planted a school where there wasn't one, and we got to work with kids and got to work with the church. And also, we got to do a lot on our own of just self-reflection, writing our own stories, and you'll get to hear about that. So I'm going to ask those that went to the Philippines to come on up. And what I want to do is I'm going to let these students share about their experience, and then we're going to show a little video. Sorry, I shouldn't have done that. A little video that will help bring visual to what they talk about, give some context, and then I just have some closing things to share. And so I've asked them to kind of write out for me, just answer a couple questions. And the first question that I asked was, what was the most memorable thing for them on this trip? And Jen, I'm going to have you start.
Well, for me, my favorite part was the church service in Puerto Galera, which lasted about 3 hours. So it was a long time. But music for me has always been a huge part of my life. And that's where God has met me the most. And in the beginning of my faith, that's where I actually heard him speak. And during their worship, there's someone singing, and Kuya Alfie, I believe, was the one leading the worship. But you couldn't even hear his voice at all. Like, he had a microphone, but the church overpowered him. And for me, that was just really so amazing to hear that they don't care what they sound like. And their voices didn't blend together very beautifully. Like, it was just kind of, it was just awesome to hear that they didn't care. So it was really amazing to hear that.
Caitlin, why don't you add to that? Because you had an opportunity on Sunday, too, to end the service.
For the children's church time, when we were with all the kids, I got to share my story with them. And that was probably one of my favorite parts, just because after I shared my story, Ate Jojo shared that that was really cool, because a lot of the kids can relate to my story, just because they may have missing parents in their life or anything. So that was just cool to share my story and then hear that it actually is connecting with other people.
So the way their service worked is they would have a worship time in the beginning, and then they'd split up for Sunday school, and we went with the students. And so the junior high and high school students were who Caitlin shared her story with. Marissa, why don't you share just about your experience too with what was your favorite part of the trip?
So my favorite part was actually when we went with Rich and Marla, and we got to go with their team, and we went to this neighborhood that had been burnt down recently. And we went around, and we were just walking around the neighborhood, like, telling everyone that we were giving out free food. And, like, you look behind you 5 minutes later, and you just have, like, 20 kids just, like, following you down the streets, like, throwing balls at you, trying to play with you. I think that was my favorite part, because I love kids, and it felt so cool to, like, connect with them and to see all the love they have for you. And, like, they didn't even question who you were. They just want to play with you, and they just want to, like, meet people. And I thought that was really cool to see all the love that they'll have for everyone.
Reggie, you had a similar experience, but in Puerto Galera.
Yeah. Just seeing the joy, the kids' faces, how they are so joyful when we play with them, and, you know, just hang out with them is just, like, so cool, because they barely have anything, but, you know, they're still happy and just playing around and having the time of their lives. I'll tell you what, those kids can ball, man. I'm telling you. They was tripping me up, like, a whole entire time. They're good. They're good.
That's funny. Either that or you're... Reggie was an anomaly in the Philippines because he's so tall. And so he steps on a basketball court and they assume that he can play. So... So kind of some of what we did, I shared how they planted a church and they planted a school. So a lot of the afternoons, we would have a after-school program where we just play games with the kids, and you'll see some videos of that, and you'll see Reggie yelling at some kids in a good way. And we did a lot of service projects for them. There's going to be a story in the video of how they're trying to not just have the church that they're in, but also plant a church. And so they used us to help do some work to help plant a church. And they also want to start a discipleship center. So you'll see where we're gathering bamboo. And we moved about 200 pieces of bamboo. Now, that their bamboo is about that thick, and it was about 20 feet long. And so we were doing that because they're going to create some bamboo walls to create a discipleship center to bring people, pastors, bring Christians to be discipled and then be sent out to plant churches and to minister in the churches that they're already in. And so it was just a great opportunity for us to partner with them, where we did very little with Threads of Hope and did way more with the church. And it was just a great experience. And I want to say, these guys worked really hard. Really, really hard. It was hot. It was sweaty. And we lived together for 2 weeks. And they worked really hard. And they actually played really well together, which is really fun to see. So one of the things, like I said, is I had them write their story on this trip. We also went through a book called Experiencing God, where they had it's a 26-chapter book. So it was a long read, but I think a lot of them got a lot out of that. And then I also had them write a letter to past self and a letter to future self. And a lot of it's just, what are we aware of now in our life and understand the context of who we are and what God wants to do. And it was interesting how God met these students just through this experience. And so I asked them, hey, how did God meet you in this experience? And it was fun for me because my daughter actually had a experience before the trip even started that she didn't see coming, and God met her in a special way. So Elise, why don't you share that?
Great. Okay, so if you guys didn't know, I'm like terrified of flying. Like, I like cry every single time. And so it was one or two days before the trip, and I decided to go to my aunt and uncle's house because like they live right across from us. They did. But I went over there, and my aunt and uncle were both upstairs, and my aunt's mom was visiting. And so I ended up starting to talk to her. And so she ended up finding out that I was, like, really scared of flying. And so she started saying, like, a bunch of stuff that, like, I really needed to hear. And, like, in the moment, I guess I didn't realize it was totally God speaking through her. But then after that conversation, I left, and I was like, whoa. Because, like, it was loud and clear what she was saying and what God was wanting me to hear. And then throughout the whole entire trip, I kept hearing him say, basically, trust me, because I have plans for you. And, like, I also, like, realized I need to give up control of my life or stop trying to have control of my life because I need to let God have control of it because I guess I'm kind of scared of not being in control of my whole entire life. And so I had to, like, surrender that. And yeah.
Which is a big thing. So that's a huge thing. And, Denissa, you kind of have similar experience. So why don't you share how God spoke to you through this trip?
So we were reading the book Experiencing God. Every day we would read a chapter, and I would go and read my chapter, and then somehow throughout my day, whatever was being taught in that chapter would appear in a different way. So it would be through either conversation or through our debriefing or just whatever it was. It would just reappear, and it would show me that God was there with me. So it was really cool to just know that he was by my side through the trip.
Well, and like just the craziness that God used a book, you know, and everything aligned, which Christian, you kind of had a similar experience how God used the book and you're not reading the book one day and then reading it. Yeah. So I'll let you share that story.
So there was a day where actually the last Sunday we were there, we went to a church and their memory verse was Colossians 3:12-17. And then later it showed up on Tatum's phone. And then I was behind on a chapter, and it showed up in that chapter. And the verse is, Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through him. And basically, I hadn't really been forgiving people, I guess. Like, we lived together for 2 weeks, so it was kind of hard, you know? So it just kind of opened my eyes. Hey, I need to be better at just forgiving people and loving on them.
Well, and Christian and I had an experience, and one of the things that we did is we tried to pull students aside, the leaders with a student, and just ask questions and really try and see what God was doing. And so Christian and I had an experience almost the first day in Puerto Galera where we were just talking about his relationship with God. And it was interesting because he came on this trip, and one of the things he wanted is, he felt ill-prepared for this trip, and two, he wanted to just hear God speak, because at this point he was like, I'm not sure that... And God spoke to me in a couple ways. The first was in a song, which is funny because he was talking on that one-on-one about how he doesn't connect with God in music. And I asked the students, hey, just lean in. Like, when you have a good conversation with someone, what do? You lean in, and you're fully present in that moment. And I said, all right, students, when we are singing, I want you just to fully lean in, because what's the worst that can happen? You connect with God, right? You just lean in. And so God met him through a song, one of our worship times, and then through the scripture. And it was just, I told him, when God points something out three times to you, you need to listen. Ryan, you learned a lot too on this trip. Yeah, just share about one joy and also just your relationship with God.
So something I realized on the trip is that God is really the only way to really have joy. Because all the kids there, they have pretty much nothing. They live in like shacks. They don't really have that much clothing. They have very little compared to what we have here. And yet they're never downcast. They're always happy. When people in the States, they have so much. And they put all their money into things like movies, going out to eat, having fun. And they don't really focus on God the way they do in the Philippines. And that just proved to me that because all they have time to focus on is Jesus, that's why they're so happy.
And God just spoke to you too. It's just your desire to go deeper in your relationship with God. And I think that you'll see that throughout with these students, is just the idea that God showed up and just said, hey, I want to go deeper. And you need to be willing to go deeper. One of the themes in the book that Denisa didn't talk about, that she had talked about earlier, was we need to give up control of our lives. Elise mentioned this, and just see where God's at work and just let him work. Because too often we try and muscle this. Hey, God, I got to go do this. And wait, no, let him do his work, and I need to just be okay with that. So here's a little snapshot, and we want to add a little more context to this. So we're going to show a video for you of just kind of what went on in this trip. So thanks, guys. Go ahead and grab a seat and let's watch this video. When you go on a trip like this, the question's always, you know, why? You know, we raised over $32,000. We could have taken that money and given it to them, and it would have helped a ton. But what it does is it helps give our students a greater picture that this world is much bigger than what they think it is. There's a different norm than what they know. And it helps give them a context for life. And it helps them deal with things that they wouldn't normally deal with. And as the students wrote their story, they were able to see how the hard things that they've gone through in their life And they were able to see how God still works in the midst of that. And again, gives them a greater context for them, for their lives. And I hope that we just take the opportunity to think about our lives, about the context of our lives. See, what happens is we live in America where our abundance is great, where we have all that we need and more for the most part. And that type of context leads to complacency and ultimately selfishness, where we start to focus on the here and now, the me, my, mine, and we don't look up and see that there's so much to this life than just me, my, mine, and what I have. In fact, God calls us as believers to something different. God calls us to have a way different vision and a way different reality. And the first he calls us to is that this is not our home. Like, that needs to be a benchmark to our understanding of who we are. This is not our home. We are just passing through. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 11 says, "But you are not like that. For you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy." So he's saying, okay, think of who you were before Christ. You once were not, now you are. We need to live into who we are, the grace that we've been given, that we are a holy priesthood, that he has called us to himself. He has given us grace and mercy and forgiven us. And what does he say next? "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners." I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners. We're temporary because this isn't our home. When we put our faith and trust in Christ, we were forgiven our sins. We were passed from death to life. And our citizenship went from this earth to heaven. We are foreigners and strangers. So what are we supposed to do? Keep away from world desires that wage war against your very soul. See, in America, we get drawn in so much about what I want, and all of a sudden what's natural to us, which is sin, draws us away from who God wants us to be and draws us into the here and now. My mind, me, my mind. And we lose sight of the fact that this isn't our home. Who cares? Like, let's get off the view of ourselves and look up and say, God has called us for something different, which is the second point. God has placed a call in our lives. Matthew 9, 35 through 38 says, "Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages in that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." Sounds like today, huh? Sounds like a lot of what goes on in America today. "He said to his disciples, 'The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into the fields.'" And here's the interesting thing is because of context, we know that Jesus is about to leave and he's going to send the Spirit of God to come, right? And so the disciples were waiting for the Spirit of God, and on Pentecost, the Spirit of God came, right? To empower them. Well, before that, Jesus dies, rises again, and he meets with his disciples. Matthew 28, he says, verse 18, "Jesus came and told his disciples, 'I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus is talking to the disciples. He said, hey, pray to the Lord of the harvest because the workers are few. And then what does he do? He says, hey, you're the workers. I've called you to make disciples of all nations. You now are those workers. And that call wasn't just to them, that's to us. See, we have a call in our life, and it's not to build a kingdom here on earth, but to use our times, our talents, use our pains, our sorrows to point people to Christ, to disciple them. And what does it mean to disciple? I mean, that's just a weird word. What he tells you, he defines what a disciple does. They teach others what God's taught them. A disciple goes, meets with someone, and teaches what God has taught them. And that's what he's asking us to do, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So this place isn't our home. We have a call in our life, and that is to make disciples. The question, what are we going to do with this call? Isaiah 6 says this, verse 1. It was in the year King Uzziah died, and I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They called out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. The voices, don't lose sight of this, the voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, it is all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I am filthy lips, and I am among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. So you have Isaiah, who's in the throne room of God, and he sees what's going on, and he's hearing it, and it's terrifying. Why? Because God's holiness revealed to him his sinfulness. And he said, oh, I'm a man of unclean lips. I am so sinful, and the people I'm with are sinful. I am doomed. But yet, the angel came, put a coal on his lips, said, your sins are forgiven. Your guilt is taken away. Verse 8. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? I said, here am I. Send me. That same call, that same conversation that God had with Isaiah, he has with us. Will you come and follow me, and will you be my messenger? And the question is, will we say, here am I, Lord, send me? Now, this doesn't mean that we'll go on to become a missionary over in Papua New Guinea or in the Philippines. This doesn't mean that we may go into vocational ministry. It doesn't mean it won't. What it does mean, though, is that we use every opportunity, whether we're a stay-at-home mom, whether we are a contractor, whether we are an engineer, whether we are a salesperson, no matter what we do, that is a means to an end. And the end is that we share Christ and we make disciples. God wants to use all of us, and he gives us a sphere of influence in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, with our peer groups, with our family, to say, here am I, Lord, send me. I am going to bring your message of hope, of grace, of kindness to you, so that you are no longer a citizen of this earth, but you can become a citizen of heaven because of what Christ has done in your life. The question is, how are we responding to this? Are we saying, here am I, Lord, send me? I know that this place is not my home. I know you've placed a call in my life. I know that you've given me grace and you want me to share and be a disciple who makes disciples. Here am I, send me. It's not about my will, but about your will be done. Oh, wait a minute. Isn't that what Jesus said on the cross? Or in the garden? Not my will, but your will be done. God uses experiences like missions trips to help us refocus and give us a greater context for life. And hopefully our experience will help challenge you and your experience. And that we will all recognize this place isn't our home. Let's stop trying to build kingdoms here. And let's live out the call that God has placed on us, and that is to make disciples who make disciples. And again, making disciples, taking what God has taught you and teaching others. I don't think we recognize how much our world has stained us and how much we love this world and how much that hinders what God wants to do in us. How are you being held back from that call in your life? What is Satan using in your life to stop you from being a disciple who makes disciples? What is slowing you down? What is stopping you from saying, "Here am I, Lord, send me"? I'm going to give you a few seconds to just pray on your own. And I grew up, and I don't like altar calls. I don't like making people stand, because as a kid, I would always stand because I would feel guilty if I didn't. And so what I'm asking you to do is on your own, if the Lord's convicting you, say to Him, "Here I am, Lord, send me. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, who you want me to talk to, Father, I'm here." So take time on your own, pray, and I'll close us. Father, I ask that your Spirit would convict. And Father, I just pray that you would forgive us for our selfishness. Lord, forgive us for our lack of trust in you. And God, I pray that you would help us this week, even today, to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And God, that you would use us. Lord, provide us with relationships that we can share you with. And Father, help us to remember this place is not our home. Our home is so much better because it's with you. Lord, help us to live out this call in our lives.